So, yes, where is my bat? I don't want my bat.
I didn't do it.
So, Pastor, I will bring my Bible next week, I promise. It's joking. So, this is my bat. I love to play baseball. And we're talking about the sweet spot. So, I need to be turned down a little bit. So how many know that that when the ball comes, I can swing, and if I hit that ball, it doesn't mean that it's going to be a good hit. I could swing, and it could, you know what, hit up here, which would not really be very effective. I could hit it out here, which wouldn't be very effective. But right about here is the sweet spot. And if I'm able to connect with that ball right here, it's going to be way more effective. The ball's going to go farther. It's going to go faster. It's going to be a better hit. But not only in here is a sweet spot, but if I hit it too high here, then it's just going to be a pop-up. If I hit it too low here, it's going to be a grounder. And so, you know what? But there is a sweet spot. You say, Pastor, what's your point? We're talking about, you know what, the sweet spot. Somebody say sweet spot.
Sweet spot.
And there's a sweet spot in our life that God wants us to walk in, that's also a crazy place in our life. Somebody say crazy place. Somebody say crazy place. Say, Pastor, I have no idea what you're talking about. You are lying, and I know you're lying. I mean, we've all been in that crazy spot. So, you know what? The first week we started talking about it, we were talking about the sweet spot is today. Somebody say today. Why? Because today is the only day I have to be sweet to my wife. Today is the day that I have an opportunity to get her coffee. Today is the day that I have an opportunity to say thank you for coming to church and being grateful that I wasn't worshiping her alone, but we worship together. Today, somebody say today. And people, and this is a little bit of review, but people live their life in the future, always waiting for next. They always think they're going to be happy tomorrow. As soon as I get that job, as soon as my kids start, you know what, combing their hair properly or whatever it is, as soon as I obtain something, then I'm going to be happy. And that's a fake out, because today is the day, the Bible says, of salvation. The Bible says that means today is the day of wholeness. We have an opportunity to be whole today. We only have the opportunity, really, to have a relationship with God today. You say, yeah, but no, I'm gonna live with God forever. I understand that, but today is the day that you have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. Does that make sense? And then people live in the past. Oh, what I did in junior high and the goofball things I did. Hey, well, welcome to the party. Every single one of us have things that we aren't proud of, but you know what? But how many know it's not, how many know you're not in junior high anymore? You're not in high school. You're not a Pioneer Titan anymore. I will always be a Pioneer Titan, but that's not the point. The point is I'm not in high school anymore. I'm not in junior high. I'm not in college anymore. I don't have to live in the past. Then last week we talked about the sweet spot being a place where you are dependent, somebody say dependent, on God. I'm telling you what, you talk about a sweet spot, when you start to disconnect on your dependency, on how smart you are, intelligent you are, you know what, some of you still can't figure out your marriage, and it's because you're trying to, you know what, you're reading a book instead of the book, amen? Amen. See, God will teach you and help you in your marriage. God will help you in all these other areas, but he can't help you in those areas if you don't recognize that God has a sweet spot that you would become dependent upon him. And then, of course, I use this analogy, and I wanted to have it up here on the screen. You know what? This, or up here on the stage, this is the sweet spot. This dolly was designed for these chairs. It goes back easily. I can see where I'm going. I can maneuver it. And this is sweet. This, what is this? This is the crazy place. Amen. And the crazy place is it's too big. I can't see what I'm doing. It wasn't designed to do this. But you know what? Sometimes this is where we live. I told you the example when I was in the grocery store. We're in the grocery store. I didn't know what I was doing. And I had a whole stack of milk. And you know what? And I didn't know what I was doing. And boom, it just went all over the place. You know, sometimes we live here. Sometimes we have a bat in our hand and we're not effective. And we say, God, I don't understand why we're not effective. Well, it's because we live too much in the crazy spot, in the crazy place, instead of recognize God wants us to be dependent upon Him.
Amen.
God wants us to today say, God, this is the day. Watch, I'll wrap all this up in one passage. You know what? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. See, you know what it is? It's every day, today. God wants you to be dependent on Him today.
That's right. Amen.
That's the sweet spot. There's also a sweet spot. I want to take a little time today to talk to you about the sweet spot of walking in forgiveness.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Come on, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even need a sermon. I'm just, you know what? I'm glad my wife's here because she needs it, but I don't. I know. I mean, no, you're about to hit that ball, but you're not going to hit it out on that one. See, how many know this word is for you today? Amen? And it's just a side note, but we need to receive what God has for us to hear today. We need to receive it. And so I want to talk about this forgiveness. You know, it's interesting to me, because I've preached on forgiveness often in this church. And maybe you've even heard me preach on forgiveness. But I believe we're going to look at it at a level that you might have never seen it. You know, I don't know, about 5 years ago, I looked in the mirror and I was like, man, you have gotten tubby over the years. And so I lost about 30 pounds. Praise God. Amen. How many know that's good? You know? And then I gained 30 pounds back. And then I lost about 30. I didn't gain it all back, but I gained almost all of it back. And then I was like, oh, what are you doing? And then I lost about, you know what, almost 30 pounds again. And then, you know the story, just about 6 months ago, my wife said, oh, you know what, let's get on keto. I'm like, you get on keto. I'm on McDonald's right now, and I'm enjoying it. You know what I mean? True story. I just was into this. I'd go to McDonald's. I like getting a Coke and large fries and a quarter pounder with cheese, no onions, no Savoia. I taught you last week, onions are part of the curse. Okay, but here's the deal. I really didn't want to do that, but reluctantly, I finally just, you know, said okay. And my wife was gracious. She doesn't care if I get a little tubby. It doesn't make any difference to her, but she does care that I am around. Amen.
Amen.
Whoa. Whoa. So I have, what's my point? I do have a point. My point is, maybe you've heard a sermon on forgiveness, but I believe today you need to hear another sermon on forgiveness. Because life has a way of beating us up. And you know what? Do you recognize, have you ever been around like crazy people? Come on. How many live with crazy people? Raise your hand if you live with crazy people. Raise your hand if you're sitting next to a crazy person. See, watch it, because we're filming this. You're going to be in trouble in a minute. We're filming this. But listen, what happens is, the reason why this is so imperative is because, like, what happened to me? Well, you know what? You're living in the midst, you know what I mean, of stuff. you know what? And Christmas comes around, and there's that Toll House pie that you love to eat, and there's, you know what I mean? And then, you know, your friends are going to Tommy's, and you know what I mean? It's like, and in a course of time, how many know there's stuff all around us that we can eat? Come on, y'all. I don't know what you're talking about. No, it's all around us. That's what happens. And listen to me very carefully. There's this tendency that we have to revert back to our old nature. That it's a tendency we have, and we have to recognize it. That's why, you know what, I gained all that weight back. Because the tendency is, you know what, well, you know, I mean, my parents taught me, eat everything on your plate. Oh, but I'm full. Well, I know, but there's still more stuff on my plate. You know what I mean? And that's how we roll. And there's a tendency that we go back to that stuff. You have a bunch of crazy people around you who continue to hurt you. And continue to, am I not right? So we need to hear this message again. But the reality is, Jesus has forgiven us, and because Jesus has forgiven us, we, as Christians, are obligated to forgive others. Listen, this is not a little deal for God. Remember, I just quoted it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth... Oh, no, wrong passage. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Help me out, somebody. Come on, does somebody ever go to Catholic school? Amen. Come on. Come on. What's that part go? Help me out, somebody. Forgive us our trespasses. Wait, I'm sorry. Hold the phone. What in the world does, you know, how many know Jesus knows good theology? Amen. It's like, oh, let me teach Jesus something because I can. Listen to what he says. He said, forgive us as we forgive others. Yeah. Listen, if you're not sure that Jesus was right in that, then you keep on reading, because right after he gets done there, he emphasizes the same thing, and he says this. He says, let me tell you, how many know God will be straight up with you? Amen. How many know God will be straight up with you? Come on, somebody here today. How many know God will be straight up with you? You know what I mean? You have friends and they'll, you know what, placate you, but God won't. He'll be straight up with you. And God says, let me tell you what, in case you missed it, let me be clear on this. If you don't forgive others, my Father in heaven won't forgive you.
Wow. Ouch.
What do you do with that? What do you do with that theologically? Well, here's what you do. Exactly. Thank you, Richard. You forgive. See, let me teach you something. We're going to look at it in a minute. But God isn't changing his mind on stuff. And I'm sorry that doesn't fit in your theology. In your, you know what, you can do whatever you want and still everything be okay. But let me tell you what. Your theology, Jesus' theology. I pick Jesus. I mean, no, he's the one who spoke the truth. And here's the truth. If you and I include myself, if we hang on to things and don't forgive, neither will, Jesus said this, my Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. Hallelujah. How many know, wow, this is something important that I better figure out. How many know today is a good day to forgive someone? So let's look at the main, oh my goodness. Let's look at the main text that, actually there's two main texts. It just went to crazy town. Thank you. Sermon title is this, The Power of Gratitude and the Power of Letting Things Go. Now, I'm gonna connect the gratitude. I'll wrap this all up, but for right now, just write it down. You know what? The power of gratitude and the power of let things go. The first passage we'll look at this quickly is a passage in Ephesians, and it says, "Do not be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." That means that, you know what, you need to have unforgiveness. Let me paraphrase what it's saying there. Unforgiveness is something that you need to practice daily. I said unforgiveness is something you need to practice daily. How many know people hurt you every day? How many know people do things that would cause you to be offended every day? And what we do is we start carrying those things and carrying those things and carrying those things. And what the Word of God says, no, stop it. You need to every day get rid of that's junk. I love the one version, because I think it brings such clarity to that beginning part. Because that beginning part, we think, you know what, be angry and do not sin. See, I can, see God, I can be angry. You know, it's okay to be angry. Well, I like one version because it brings it out what God is really saying there. And it says this, if you are angry, don't let it become sin.
That's right.
How do we let it become sin? We let that which is, how many know all of us get angry? Amen. You ever been to Home Depot? Come on, somebody. You ever been to Home Depot? And you're looking for a certain size screw. Amen. And they say, oh, that's, you know what, you're, hey, do you have this? You're like, yeah. They're like, yeah, we have it. It's on aisle 10. And you go to aisle 10. You're like, oh, okay, it's on aisle 10. And you go to aisle 10, and there's like a billion and a half screws. Hello. You're like, unbelievable. You know what I mean? Why didn't that guy come over and show me where the screw was? See, we can be angry, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. When that anger turns into something, what does it turn into something? You start judging that guy. Amen. How many know the Bible says don't judge? I said, how many know the Bible says don't judge? And between that, but when you start, in your 15 minutes, you're looking for that screw, and you're thinking the whole time you're sinning. Because you're thinking, that idiot, you know, probably on a break right now, is probably talking to, you know what, probably on the phone, probably playing a video game, probably those, you know, all the youth, man, they're all going to hell in a handbasket. You know, they all are idiots. You know what I mean? All this generalization and all this junk is coming out. Do you understand? That's sin. That's sin. It's wrong. Matthew, this is Jesus, Matthew chapter 18. And let me just read this together with you. We have it up on the screen. And it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but I say seven times 70. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain man who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, somebody say he wasn't able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, that the payment might be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he said, he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me, what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me. Interesting, almost the exact same thing that he had just said.
Right.
Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he could not, but went and threw him into the prison, till he should pay the debt. Could he pay the debt? Couldn't pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw that he had done what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, notice what the master does. You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Father, here's your prayer. Father, forgive me as I forgive others. See, let me tell you about God. God's the same yesterday and forever. I'm not going to say something, one thing, and then say it. No, no, no. This is exactly the same thing. Shouldn't have you done that? Remember what I did to you? And his master was angry. Here, figure out what you do with this theological point. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Could he do that? Somebody say no. What does that mean? That means he's never getting out of prison. So my heavenly Father also... See, these are poignant passages. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart, that means really, not a fake out. Oh yeah, I forgive you, but I can't forget it. Oh yeah, right. See, it's not a superficial thing. God is not looking for you to superficially forgive other people. He's looking for a heart change in your heart. He's looking for you to do what he's done to you. How many know God hasn't faked you out? God's not really in the back of his mind angry at you.
Oh, amen.
Yes, thank you. Amen. So my father also will do to you if each of you, I love the scripture because it's so clear. If each of you, what does that mean? That means, here's what that means. You are not excluded from what I am teaching you today.
Amen.
Here's what that means. You are not excluded from what I'm teaching you today. Here's what that means. You are not excluded. Do I need to go on? Do you catch the point?
Yeah.
No, but nobody's understand what I've gone through. No, no, no. You're not excluded.
Yeah.
We're none of us excluded. Doesn't mean that God doesn't feel your pain. It doesn't mean that God makes light of people that hurt you. He doesn't. But it means that that God has forgiven you for way more than what you ever could forgive somebody else for. If from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I want to break this passage down very quickly. First, my first point, write this down if you're taking notes. Who signed up for Academy of Righteousness? Raise your hand if you've signed up for Academy of Righteousness. Raise your hand. Stand up if you've signed up and you're coming to Academy of Righteousness right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, all over. Okay, look at this. You know what? Thank you. Thank you, man of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may sit down.
Amen.
We come up with our own standards of what is right. Notice what Peter does. Peter says, you know what? Hey, Jesus, what if I forgive someone up to seven times? Well, where does he come up with this up to seven times? He comes up with this up to seven times because Jewish tradition said you have a right to, you are obligated under the law to forgive somebody three times. But after three times, that's enough. You know what I mean? What have you done for me lately? Boom, boom, boom. Amen. And so he says, no. He thinks Jesus is going to come and say, dude, you're the man seven times. Rock on. You did it twice as much as you did. And then you added one. Dude, you rock. Jesus didn't say that. Notice we come up with our own standards on forgiveness. We've decided, you know what, that our spouse is, we are going to forgive them. You know what? We've got all these deals, you know what I mean? Let me tell you what, I'm not gonna say anything, but you're gonna know I'm mad at you. Amen. Hello, somebody. Come on, y'all. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to make it clear. I'm going to look out the window. I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm talking about this. You know what? Hey. Are you saved or are you not? Amen. Why do we think we could come up with ugly talk, ugly actions? Ugly. I'll tell you what. I'll make it. You know what? No. We don't have time for this. Can I teach somebody something in your marriage? And in marriage, what you're doing is you're creating these patterns in your life. And those patterns, once they're created, they're easy to go back to those same patterns. And God is shaking you up this morning, saying, knock it off. It's not up to you to come up with your own standard. You can't come up with your own standard. Peter, ooh. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, I'll tell you what, I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't say that. Does he not say that? Look at it up in the passage. He said, that's what you came up with that. I didn't come up with that. The standards of forgiveness. I'm going to forgive you. I'll forgive you for this, but I won't forgive you for that. All this stuff, you know, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. All this junk. And you know what? And let me tell you where it came. It did come from the Word. It did came from Jesus. And you know what? It's not going to cause you. You know, the Bible says the wrath of man doesn't cause the righteousness of God. In other words, there's this peace that God wants you to walk in. There's this sweet spot that he wants for you to live in. There's this sweet spot that he wants you to be, to have awesome marriages and awesome relationships and awesome, and you just to live a life of peace. Amen. But you can't do that because you're not living. You're living in this crazy spot. And this crazy spot is where you've come up with, come on, somebody here today, you've come up with your own standards of what is and what isn't. And that's what it's going to be. And this is how it's going to be. And Jesus says, just like he said to Peter, he says to you today, I'll tell you what, you came up with that. But I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm telling you today. That you are to forgive someone 7 times 70. Amen. What's he saying? He's saying, stop counting. Amen. That's what he's saying. That's a poetic way for him to say seven times 70, knock it off, Peter. And what is Peter really doing? Can I tell you what Peter is really doing? Peter is really acting ugly. How many know sometimes we wrap ourselves up in righteousness. Ooh, I'm so holy. No, Peter's disgusting here. Because you know what he's looking to do? He's not only counting people's, you know, how ridiculous. You know what I mean? That's one. That's two. That's three. How many want to live in relationships like that? It's disgusting. And here's what he's saying. I want to, there are certain people, and you know what? After seven, that's it. That's not the Spirit of God. And so Jesus says, hey, that's what you're saying. I don't say that.
That's right.
That's not what I'm saying. Another passage in Luke. I love another passage in Luke. There's a passage in Luke, and Jesus, talking about this same thing, listen, this is awesome, says, if someone comes to you 7 times in a day and asks for forgiveness, you are obligated to forgive them 7 times a day. And what our standard of righteousness wants to go, Pastor, that is crazy. I was talking to a friend about this just recently, and I love what he said. He said, talking specifically about a spouse, he said, you know what, there's things that my spouse does that irritate me, and there's things that my spouse does that irritate me. How many, you say, you don't want to raise your hand, but how many have a spouse that irritates you sometimes? Raise your hand. If your hand's not up, you're probably not married, okay, so... And you know what? And here's what I've noticed, that that very thing that irritates us, how many know they have a tendency to do that repeatedly?
Oh, don't say it.
Come on. And I love what he said. He said this. He said, you know what? Every time she does what irritates me, I pretend like it's the first time that she did it. That is wisdom, Bucky. And let me tell you why that's wisdom. Let me tell you what it is, because it's Ephesians. You know what it is? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And the Bible says, one version says, don't keep a record of wrongs. Don't keep a record of wrongs. You know what one version says? It says this. It says, love, the King James and the New King James says, love speaks no evil. It doesn't even sound the same. Speaks no evil, keeps no record of wrongs. How did the translators get it so different? How many know most translations are very much alike? How did they get it so different? Can I tell you how they got it so different? When you keep record of wrongs, you know what you're doing? You're speaking evil. It's evil to do that. Amen? Are you learning something today? How am I glad you came today? My second point. Forgiveness is not something that you can repay. How many are glad that Jesus forgave you? Come on, somebody. How many glad Jesus forgave you? How many are we glad that Jesus forgave us? Oh, come on, somebody. Raise up your hand and say, God, thank you for Jesus. I'm so grateful that Jesus forgave me. Can you know? And one of the reasons I'm so grateful that Jesus forgave me is because I was so jacked up. Amen. The Bible says, to him who forgives much, loves much. I love much. Amen? Amen. And how many know the reality is we all have so much to be grateful for, because we all have so much that junk inside of us. And God took that all. Did he take it all? He took it all. And I thank God for that. How many know that there's nothing in my behavior that I can do? You know, it's a free gift. All I need to do is just say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my heart, but change me from the inside out. It's just accepting what he did on the cross. But how many know this? That the same man that owed the millions of dollars couldn't repay it. The same man who then went to his friend, and guess what? He couldn't repay it. See, watch this. Let me teach this to you. God has forgiven me so much, and I can't repay it. But when Tamara does me wrong, you know the truth is? She can't repay it. How many know we don't have a time machine? Tamara, do you have a time machine? Isaac, do you have a time machine? George, you got a time machine? Isabel? Cody? You're the man. You got a time machine?
I don't.
Who's got a time machine? I don't got a time machine. I can't go back. I can't repay it. All I can say, all she can say is, I'm sorry. And then once she says, I'm sorry, I've got the ability, I can do whatever I want to, I can either forgive her or I can choose not. No, my standard, no, she did too many times, it was too hurtful, it was too harmful, I already told her, you know, she should have known better, you know what, I'm going to, you know what, slip out the back, Jack, amen. And how many marriages are end up in divorce, and you know what, and they didn't, and needlessly, just because we didn't walk in forgiveness. I'm just saying. Forgiveness is something that in both of these examples, both of the guys were like, well, I can't do that. See, the people that you are holding something against, they can't go back. But you can grant them something that they can't pay. Are you hearing me? You can grant them something that they can't pay. My third point. I will forgive you, but I can't forget it. Here's my question. All eyes up here. All eyes up here. Where you come up with that? Where'd you get 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 that? Where'd we get that? Do you know where we got that? Let me tell you where we didn't get that. Let me tell you where we didn't get this. Y'all here today? We didn't get any of it from here, amen? Didn't come from, you know, oh, you're right here. You're free. No, not there. You can't find it, amen? Why? Because it's not there. Now that came from somewhere, but it did come from the Word. It came from your goofball friends and your goofball, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends and neighbors and aunts and aunts and, you know, all kinds of things, right? Right? Talk shows and, you know what I mean? And justification. You're justifying. God says, knock it off. That's not the Word of God. Where'd you come up with that stuff? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we are to get rid of this junk, all this sin. It's a great passage. Proverbs 18, just look at it up here, 18, 17. The first one that to plead his cause seems right until the neighbor comes and examines him. So what do you mean? What are you teaching? Here's what I'm teaching. That how many know you're always the first one to plead your case? Well, let me tell you what. Tamara did this. Tamara did that. Tamara did this. And let me tell you what. And I'm pleading my case. Why? Because I'm pleading my case to me. Why do you think you're always right? Amen? How many know we always think we're right? Amen? You know, the other day I was talking to Tamara. I was like, yeah, hey, you know what? Yeah, you know, she was at this conference. She said, no, she wasn't. I said, yes, she was. She said, and how many know, oh, man, I thought I was right. She said, Drew, she wasn't at that conference. I said, I know she was. And Vegas was there. And she's and I said, because I always like to bet, amen? So, oh, you shouldn't like to bet. You're a pastor. I'm just telling you, I like to bet, amen? You know what I mean? Because I like a back rub, amen? I'm going to bet you. Want to bet? And then she's like, I'm just telling you. My wife, gracious, she was like, I'm just telling you. That wasn't her. And I was thinking, man, because I like to bet when I know I'm right. And I was thinking, man, maybe I'm not right because she seemed real confident. I said, okay, we're not going to bet, amen? And guess what? That lady was not at the conference, even young. But how many know? We always, because that's what we do. I have an offense with you, and I'm the first one to testify in my mind. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I've figured out how wrong you are. Listen, if you would keep an open mind and recognize that you're not always right, you might be listening to someone else. I've learned this. I don't do it perfectly, but I've been fights with my wife and said, no, 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 no. And she's like, no, you know, no, no. I'm no, 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 no. You know, no, 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 no. And in this, and then all of a sudden, because I've learned this, and I've allowed the Holy Spirit, I don't do it perfectly, but I've allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to me. And right in the middle of the fight, I'll go, the Holy Spirit say, no, no, you're wrong. I'm like, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, no, you're wrong. And then all of a sudden, right? I mean, just like weird, almost on a dime, I'll go, oh, you're right. Have I not done this? And what do you say when I do that?
I said, don't just say that.
Yeah. It's so weird. You know what I mean? Because she's like, oh, you're just saying it. I'm like, no, 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 no. I'm not saying it because I've learned this passage. And I recognize I've got to have an open mind to maybe I'm not right. Maybe I've just been the first one to make the plead in myself. And we walk around, we think, well, you know what, that's what we think. Yeah, everybody's wrong, everybody's hurt me, you know, everybody's jacked up, everybody's against me, I'm the victim. Wow. With just this judgment, you know what, you've hurt me, you're an idiot, you're a buffoon, and you are a crazy person. But, I'm sane. I'm normal. Yeah. Well, if any of you think you're normal, you are crazy. Amen. Yeah. Come on, somebody say amen to this. This is craziness. But you know what we do? We carry these things with us. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher, perfecter of our faith. What are we to do? Listen, when we're in that place where we're hurt, and listen, I understand it happens all the time. We're hurt, we're ticked, they shouldn't have done that to you. You feel hurt. It's not the time to hang on to your pain. It's the time to let it go, to look unto Jesus. What are you looking unto Jesus? The one who forget. How did he author and how is he the author and finisher of our faith? Where did that happen? I'm giving you a visual. Where did that happen? It happened on the cross. What did he do on the cross? On the cross, he took all your junk, all the stuff you couldn't pay for. He took that on the cross. So what you are to do is listen, when you're in that place and it's real and you're ticked and you're irritated and it wasn't right. And I'm not saying those things aren't right, but what I'm telling you is two wrongs don't make a right. And for you to hold that pain is the silliest thing we ever do. But we're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of perfecter of our faith. We look unto Jesus and we think, oh my goodness, he's forgiven me for so much. And I'm so wrong. I'm so petty to hold on to these things. The Bible says to let go of all this junk, the sin that so easily besets us. And we're supposed to go somewhere. God has called us to go somewhere, and we're not. We're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go, but I gotta carry my baggage with me. You know what I mean? Because this is, you know what? She hurt me. You know what? He messed me up. You know, my ex. You know what? My ex-husband, my kids, my whatever. Oh, you're gonna go? Really? Bible says, let that stuff go. Ephesians chapter 12, the first verse of this says, let that stuff go. The sin and weights that so easily, why in the world are you carrying this? Don't you understand? Because of what God did on the cross, Jesus was the one who carried it for you. Why are you carrying this stuff? Amen. And not only do we do that, we're like, I'll tell you what, Jackson, wait a minute, buddy. Are you kidding me? You think you don't understand what's going on in my life? Because let me tell you what. This ain't the only person who jacked me up. My wife, man, what is wrong with her? She got so much stuff. Are you kidding me? Wow. I had a girlfriend before I had my wife, and she did treat me good either. Right? Right? Are you kidding me? No. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand me, Jackson. The stupid zipper don't even work. You know what I mean? Are you kidding me? Then my mama. Can I tell you about my mama? Unbelievable. And all of a sudden, that which is, you know, it's like, and we are going to, listen, we're like, oh my goodness, and this is justified. And I'm going to take this baggage and this baggage and this baggage and whoa, let's go, and I'm going to be a mighty man of God. No, you're not. You're paying for stuff that you never should have paid for. And what about this bag? I really like this bag, because this bag, look, it inflates. Amen. Some of you have stuff. I don't mean to be light of your stuff, but some of you, you know what? The fish that you caught was this big, and 4 years later, it's this big. Amen. You know what you've done? You've it's, come on, man. Get rid of it. Stop carrying it. Amen. Where's Daniel? Daniel, come on up here. What are you doing? Why are you carrying this stuff? This is junk. This is stuff that God's already taken care of. Really, he's taking care of this stuff. You know, there, just Daniel, man, you look good today, buddy. You always look good. How many know, you know what? There is a up here on the stage, buddy. Look at this. Look at this bag. This bag. Look. What do? We put our name on the bag. This is mine, amen? This is mine. It's not yours. You're carrying it, but you know what? You have no business carrying it. That's why the Bible says, you know the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. See, you're living in the craziest place. and you have no intention of living in a crazy place. There was a lady, she's a neuro, how do you say?
Neurologist.
And she was studying the brain, and the morning before she went to work, she's pretty famous, and before she went to work, she had a stroke. There's a side of your brain that is very creative. How many know that's true? There's also a side of your brain that's not very creative and very analytical. And she, being a scientist, tended to be very analytical. And she had this stroke. And when she had this stroke, she discovered some wonderful things in that stroke. She recognized two things primarily. One thing that she recognized was the ability that she had. See, how many know you can be dominant on one side or the other? You know, some of you are left-handed, and you know what? You're stronger on that side. Some of you are right-handed. Why? Because you're always using that, and so you start to develop that. And as you're developing that, sometimes you don't develop this other side. Well, in your brain, there's a logical part of your brain, and many of us have developed that. That side is the side that connects. So this situation that happened here is connected to this situation that happened here, is connected to this situation that happened here, connected to this situation that happened here, and in your mind you connect it all and you're not going to let go of it, and that's logical to you. There's also a side of your brain that's more creative. But what she recognized in the stroke, she says the stroke was a wonderful thing in my life for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons it was so awesome is because when I got the stroke, I recognized because the stroke was on the one side of my brain that was so logical, I started to really recognize and have to, I was forced to think more creatively. But she says this, she said, what I recognized is that way more than I thought, I could choose what side of the brain I wanted to work on. See, so where does that come from? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, we think, you know, I can forget it, but I'm not going to forget it. Get it? That's not biblical. The Bible says God forgets our sins. As far as the east is from the west, he doesn't remember your sin anymore. And you go, oh, I can't do that. No, you know what? You've been so hurt, and then you just keep on going over your hurt, and you in your brain has just made that so clear. And then something happens here, and it's connected, and you know what? And this happens, and that triggers this, and see, you did this, and you did that, and you did this, and my marriage sucks.
Wow.
Amen. And I'm just saying, where you come up with that stuff? Because the Bible says, consider Jesus the author and finisher and perfecter of your faith. You start thinking about what Jesus did on the cross, and all the stuff that he forgave us for. And you can't help but just go, if you focus on him, you can't help but just go, oh. Is this making sense to anybody?
Yes.
So in Roman times, if you killed someone else and you were convicted of that murder, instead of just burying that person, they would tie the dead person. Hey,
oh, sorry.
You're my example of a dead person today. Sorry. Okay. they would tie that dead person to the live person.
Wow.
That was part of the punishment. And they would tie them up there, and then that person got to carry that dead person all around. Are your eyes closed?
Oh.
that dead person all around. Now, how many know? I better stop doing this because this is, I mean, just a little bit, very uncomfortable. You can, okay, just stay up there. Okay, watch this. Yeah, muscle weighs more than fat, so that's, yeah. Watch this. But here's the reality. The reality is that that dead person is going to start to, how many know that dead person starts to decay? I mean, the first thing's going to happen is, how many know I'm going to start to, because what happens is that which we attach ourselves to becomes, infects us. And now not only is he stinky, but how many know what I'm doing? How many know I'm stinky now? And how many know not only that smell is an indication, you know what it's an indication of? Decay. And how many know that's not staying on him? That in a poor period of time is going to attach itself to me. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pastor, where are you going with this? What I need to do, what you guys have done is you have tethered yourself. When you won't walk in forgiveness, you've tethered yourself to the dead. And that junk is all over you. It's all over you. And so something happens over here and you snap. And it's just like, whoa, yeah, where did that come from? I tell you, it came from that stinky person that's where it came from. And that's why Ephesians, when it says, don't let the sun set on your anger, it's not because that is one of the most awesome passages in the whole New Testament. When the Bible says, you know what, you are to have this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Christ forgave people. And he walked in freedom. See, what God wants you to do is he wants you to lay aside all this sin. That's what the Bible calls it. Unforgiveness is sin. And all this junk, because you know what it does? It easily besets you. It's like, oh, this is hard, and you won't let go, and you won't let go, and you won't let go. And God's saying, why are you carrying that when I already died for all that? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? You know what this lady who had a brain aneurysm in her head, she was studying the brain. You know what she recognized? Listen to me. She recognized her life was better after her stroke. True story. You know what she says? She says, let me tell you, my wife was better because I forgot who I was supposed to be mad at. Let me tell you what. Tamara, come on up here and I'm going to close. Here's what I'm telling you. There's a sweet spot that God has for you. I'm not telling you this ain't. No, that's good English, Pioneer High School. This is not for the faint of heart. And if you want to continue to hold a grudge and hold on to bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, you can hang on to it. But let me tell you what. There's a sweet spot that God has for you. And he has for it for every single one of us because we ought to be, you know what? We ought to, really, we ought to be the most people filled with joy and peace and love. Why? Because even though every single day we are bombarded with people who are hurting us, it doesn't fade us. Because every day we're going to say, oh, come on. That was nothing. No big deal. Oh, forget it. You kidding me? I've done that 80 times at least. Dude, you rock. I don't even know why I was mad at you. And all of a sudden, we just walk in this freedom. Is this making sense to anybody? Is somebody hearing the Holy Spirit speak to them?
I wasn't used to your headset there. So we're talking about to take our last 2 weeks, a daily dependency on God. I want to, as we're talking about forgiveness, I want to talk about Psalms 147:3 says that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and to bind up their wounds. When Jesus, before he went to the cross, remember when they whipped him? And he has scars on his back. When we see him, we'll see the scars in his hand. We'll see the scars on his back. When people, I don't know about you, I'm talking, sometimes, that was physical stuff that left physical scars. You ever have? I got some physical scars, you know what I mean, of things that have happened. You know what? Got a big cut right here on my hand. I was slicing stuff on a slicer, and I sliced my hand. That scar is there. I have a scar where a dog bit me right here. I fell right on our dog. He was a German Shepherd. Me and my sister were walking him when we were told not to. By the way, listen to your parents. You never know what's going to happen. And this scar came from that. I have scars, physical scars. But every one of us in this room, we have scars that cannot be seen. There's scars from people, just like Jesus has scars from people. As he's hanging on the cross, they're gambling off his clothing. They're standing at the foot of the cross mocking him and the power that he walked in and who he was, who he said he was to them. It's like, if you're so great, if you're the Son of God, why don't you do something now? So they're mocking him. But what does he do, ironically? After the physical scars, after all the emotional scars of stripping him down and humiliating him and ridiculing him, what does he do? What does he say? Forgive them. They know not what they do. He is our example, right? And one of the things that has really helped me, because I have a lot of scars that you can't see. Matter of fact, we were just with the staff yesterday, and I began to just share with them some things that I heard God saying that's going to take place. And as I was sharing that, part of that is something that I know God has called us to. Some of the vision, plans that he has for us. And I began to share with them something that took place as we got a glimpse of that vision at one point. And Pastor Drew and I were sitting in the lobby, and someone came down the hallway, and they were ridiculing and mocking us. About what? About our testimony of who our God is. What he's done. How do you mock that? I mean, who's going to mock how these chairs got here? Yeah. Who can do this? Right. Church people. That's who. Wow. These were church people. How do you mock the miracles and the testimonies that I share with you of what my God has done? And they're real. Do you know what I'm saying? This is not no pie in the sky. I'm trying to tell you something. You can see it. It's real. How do you do that? I don't know. And guess what? I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change who God's called me to be. Right? So I have all kinds of scars from people in my life. Okay, we could just sit here, we could pull up a chair, get a cup of coffee, and go, right? And you could tell me yours, too. You ever heard people, oh, my ankle's hurting? Well, you think that's something? You ought to see my knee. You know what happened, you know, when I get up in the morning, right? You ever seen people go on about their ailments? I know you could go on with me about your ailments, about all the scars that I can't see, about what people have done to you. And we could try and one-up each other of all that has hurt us. I remember one time, I think we were in Texas. I don't remember where we were, but Pastor Drew and I were traveling, and we were at a conference in Texas or something, I think it was. And to this day, the enemy, Pastor Drew said something in the hotel room that day that just wounded me, hurt me. And to this day, the enemy will say, you remember when he said that? And all the feelings come back, right? He doesn't, the enemy understands a lot better than we do the Word of God sometimes and the power of what the Word says. And if we need to let Jesus be Lord and be sure that we not only understand it, but we believe it. And we believe it to action. Amen? That we believe it to action. When Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. Scars are ugly, aren't they? I mean, you know what I mean? They got surgeries, they got laser, they got creams and lotions and potions and all kinds of things for what? To get rid of your scars. Because scars are not attractive. And when we carry all these scars inside of us, of what people have done to us, we end up very unattractive. We end up very sick. That corpse that would decay, you're going down. Do you know the bacteria and the disgust of a decaying corpse? Do you know what I'm saying? It will make you sick. And we see people walking around, and it's like, wow, what happened to you? You know what I mean? We can see it, huh? Because they act ugly. They act ugly. That's because scars are ugly. When somebody's acting ugly to you, you let it be a sign. There's all kinds of scars that you cannot see. And let your heart be filled with compassion for that person. I remember one time, I was sitting. God is so good. God is serious about this point. He will use all kinds of things to get it to us. I remember one time I was worshiping over in the North Sanctuary. I was up front, and I can't remember. But anyway, I heard the Holy Spirit. He said, Tamara, you need to forgive him. I said, Lord, I have forgiven him. If I hadn't forgiven him, then I wouldn't even be here. Of course I've forgiven him. He said, yeah, but you need to forgive like I forgive. I said, what's that? What you talking about? And he said, when I forgive, I remember it no more. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? As far as the east is from the west, he doesn't even remember it. Now, that takes a discipline of your mind. I remember one day, and we all have to work through this. We all have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Isn't that what the Bible says? In other words, is he going to be God, or are you going to be God? But only one of you can be God. Only one of you can be the director of your life. And I was sitting at a computer, and I was working through some forgiveness, and here's what I said to the Lord. See, because when people hurt us, it hurts. It hurts. And so I'm sitting there with tears kind of streaming down my face, and I'm like, Lord, how in the world am I supposed to forgive when they keep doing the same thing over and over and over to me the same thing. How am I supposed to forgive that? And God is my witness. At that very moment, as I sat in my living room on my computer, I think Megan was watching Fireproof with Kirk Cameron. And at that very moment is the moment where Kirk Cameron, there's a cross, and he's kind of out in the woods with his father. And Kirk Cameron, I think he almost asks the same. He's telling his father, I'm done with her. That's it. You have no idea what I've done. I've tried this and I've tried that, and you don't know how she's acting. And then he said, how in the world am I supposed to forget that? And his father literally just looks at the cross like this in the movie. It's all dramatic. That was my dramatic. God was being dramatic with me, just going, okay, there's your answer, girlfriend. You asked. There you go. Great word picture for me in my life. Great word picture. Because suddenly, everything became real clear. I'll tell you how I'm going to forgive. Same way Christ forgives me over and over and over for the same stuff many times until I nail it, and then he gives me something else to work on. And just me or anybody else in the house, right? So the cross, it was awesome. I said, okay, now that we got that clear, right? We can do this. But we can do it through the cross, through him, just like him, as he's our example. See, I really, many times, there's people and things that they've done, I don't want to forgive them for them. You know what I mean? But because God has made it so clear to me how jugular this is to me and him, all of a sudden, what you did ain't nothing. When I put, okay, I'm going to jeopardize my relationship with God, my destiny with him, compared to you over here and what you did, I don't care. I won't drop the mic like Pastor Drew does. I don't like that. But that's what drop the mic, okay? No competition. Done. Okay. You know what, Father? Thank you. You know what? For the fact that you love me so much, I thank you that you're here for me. I thank you, Father. I pray. You know what I love to pray? I pray that they would come to know you in a greater way. That's a good thing to pray for nasty people. You know what I'm saying? I pray that they will come to know you and have a relationship with you, Father. Thank you, Father, to just help me, you know what, to forgive them. And with that, it's a piece of cake. Conclusion? Okay. All right. I think so.
If something that has been said today, and you sense like, man, that's me. I need to. It's really important that we not just that we recognize church is a time for us to connect with God, and we're going to dismiss in just a couple more minutes. But before we do, I don't want to miss this time. So if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes, and if you want, say, Pastor, there's some people that I haven't forgiven, and I kind of did it superficially, but not at the level that I need to. And maybe it's more than one person. Listen, I don't need to know all the details, who it is and what they did, and all that stuff is really important. Not important, but what is important is that you get rid of it, that you recognize God spoke to you, and you need to make a reaction to what God did. You need to say, that's me. If that's you, I want you to raise your hands. And it's all over the room. And I'm going to pray with you. You know what? Just say this with me. Say, God, please forgive me. You know what? First of all, thank you for forgiving me. And may I forgive others, no matter what they did, big or small, no matter how many times they've even done the same thing. may I just walk in forgiveness. I want to be free. Thank you for teaching me this today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, I don't know. Do I have 5 more minutes, you think, to read this or just hold it next week? 3.5 minutes, he said. Are you guys okay for 3.5 minutes? So last week we were talking about dependency on God. And I said, you know what? We have not because we ask not. That's what the Bible said. And so I wanted to, and I just reach for the stars when it comes to God. Let him know the desires of your heart, that he is your God. And so I had to ask the Holy Spirit one time if he would help me write a poem for Pastor Drew, because Pastor Drew used to write me songs and poetry and all this stuff. And I said, God, I'm not creative like that. Could you help me? I've never done nothing like that. And so the Holy Spirit helped me write this poem. And this was this poem is about me meeting him and just about where we were at in our relationship at that time. So we were dating, okay? So it's called You, Drew. Isn't that awesome? See, right? We're starting out good already. All right, so it says, in my life, there was someone I met. Why? I did not know yet. I would watch and wonder from afar, thinking of him. Who do you think you are? So I watched, puzzled and perplexed, wondering, what will he do next? Remember, I used to watch him at the grocery store? And he was always so happy. So cool. So as I watched, I would wonder and say, doesn't he ever have a bad day? I had no idea that the things he would soon say. Okay, sorry. See, no. It was because I had no idea that the things that he would soon say would lead me to give my life away. See, because I accepted the Lord. It's good. Okay. It was about Jesus right there, okay? So this man who once troubled me so has stolen my heart and a love has begun to grow. Remember, I didn't like him. Through the years, although we've had our ups and downs, nothing has changed the fact that the love between us abounds. As God has said in his word, for he and I, it shall soon be done. The two will become one. Isn't this good? God will help you, man. So he's filled my life with a joy that I've never known, and he never lets his feelings go unshown. He sometimes makes me laugh, and he sometimes makes me cry. I don't always know why. He has touched my life through his poetry and song, which spoke of how together we belong. He has an incredible smile. I can't screw up the end here. Hang on. All right. He has an incredible smile. He has eyes that are ocean blue. He enjoys annoying me with his silly sense of humor. Yes, this is true. Who is he? He is you, Drew. Yeah. See? So. And then I put it in a frame, and I had this lady at church, you know, she did calligraphy. I said, could you, like, write this out really pretty for me? So she wrote it all out in calligraphy. I popped it in a frame, and it was a Valentine's Day gift so many years ago. So anywho, God cares about everything. He loves you. He's there for you in everything. Silly little things like trying to write a poem, and great big things like your mom being in a hospital and they have no idea what's wrong with her. He has been there for me from A to Z, and it's never going to change. Amen. Amen.